It's time for Seminole Headlines featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV. Appreciate you wherever it is that you're listening or watching to the program. Watching the program? How about that?
You're watching to
listening
the program.
To and watching.
Right.
Program. Yeah, that's where we're at. Obviously, a lot of chatter. Florida State, Notre Dame elicited a response that I think we're all happy about because time was rather recently that game one was grand opening, grand closing. And now we're in a situation where game one is, hey, a little something to talk about.
Yeah.
A little reason to get excited. So we'll get to your questions momentarily. Corey, go ahead. You have the floor.
Hey, what? Won't the season opening loss streak end next year? Don't they open like Duquesne next year?
They open with Duquesne, so they'll be.
So this streak, I'm calling it right now. The streak's going to end at five.
So five. I think they're tied for the national lead with Oregon State for the most consecutive season opening losses.
But I bet you Florida State played better competition than Oregon State.
Yeah, Oregon State was not playing Alabama and, the great Georgia Tech team from last year. This Notre Dame team. I think this Notre Dame team's an 8-win team, right? Probably not. Maybe a 9-win team. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Corey, you clearly got the questions up early.
Yeah, how about that? So that was, I just want people to know, especially if you give your Twitter questions to Ira, that
there's a chance those things don't get up to about an hour before the show starts.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was about 30 minutes before the show started. Meanwhile, as always, I get them up the night before. Ira, you've stopped texting me and asking me if I've gotten the questions up because you're more in
love. You're so dependable.
Yeah, well, he doesn't even care about it anymore. And then I guess I need to start asking you each night before we do the show, hey, is that question up on Twitter? Have you solicited any questions on Twitter?
Do we need to air our dirty laundry on this program? That's my question.
Hey, I'm coming guns a-blazing after the phone fiasco from the first hour.
All right, so there are plenty of questions on Twitter, though. They did rally.
Well, I hope you're not going to read them.
I mean, they're the freshest answers. They're the freshest responses.
Yeah, that's true. They're really fresh. Austin, send them in now. It's live. Send in some questions.
Austin writes, gentlemen, seems like Sidney Williams might be a grown man with the hits he was delivering. I feel like I didn't hear much about him in preseason camp. Do you all have any insight about his progression? Well, he was willing to come up and put his body on you. That was good to see.
He wasn't out there a ton at the beginning of camp, right? He got out there more at the end.
We talked about him in the spring because he was doing some of that in the spring. And he came on late last season, and you saw it.
He led him in tackles in the last couple Duke, games. But he led the team in tackles the last game.
But he, during preseason camp, he was kind of in and out. So wasn't out there as much. I think he played a little bit more in that game, earlier in that game than I think we expected.
Yeah, he's got a little, I don't know what kind of cover safety he is, but he definitely come down and hit you.
Yeah.
He comes down with bad intentions.
Ryan writes, and I like this, as we sit here staring that all-important Wake Forest game in the face, it made me reflect. How many damn times have we had to look at Wake Forest as the make-or-break game for the year? It seems like nearly every season. They got Taggart fired, Jimbo losing off a bye. By the way, Miami got Taggart fired. But Chris
that
Thompson,
Wake game did not help. That Wake game kind of set the...
Added to the list of things.
Started to crystallize the thing.
Yeah. Jimbo losing off a bye. Yeah. That was one of my favorite ones. That was one of my favorite Jimbo losses. Jimbo has a series of inexplicable losses,
that was a good one.
That was a toughie.
EJ, they said EJ could only play
if Clint was terrible. That was the emergency. Clint's terrible.
The doctor said, you can play him, but only if Clint turns over three times.
Get him in there.
By the way, that game that they lost is one of EJ's best throws, though. Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
His first touchdown.
He's going to turn this thing around like that.
That was an incredible throw. Jimbo losing off a bye. Chris Thompson's return from a broken back. EJ Manuel running all game to get us a win. Jeff Bowden firing. I was in the stadium that night. 30-0. Woo. Weird that this series has so many big moments that stick out. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Remember,
there shouldn't be. We should be regaling you with the 500 ass beatings that Forest State has delivered.
Yeah, going for win 32 in a row.
Yeah.
And didn't
they
have a string of ACLs against Wake Forest, too?
Oh, that's the old Jones. Field. That field at Wake Forest was the worst. I used to hate when we'd go up
play. Was it Greg Jones?
He had one, and there was another one. There was another one before that.
Yeah, we had a couple there. Yeah, that was frustrating.
And then Chris Thompson breaks his back up there. I was saying something to somebody this morning. I said, man, that Wake game is huge. And as I said it, I said to myself, man, what am I doing here? We're saying the Wake Forest game is huge, but it really is.
You referenced my dad earlier in the show. He and I were sitting in a parking garage for 2 hours waiting to leave the football game. Of course, it was really organized, buttoned up over there, both going into the games and out of the games.
I got out of there so late, I wasn't. I was just worried about vagrants.
Get it
you
together.
Had to try to, you were actually with people.
Get it together, Florida State.
Did you really have to wait? It was probably,
it was
2 hours.
Insane.
But it was,
an hour, 30 minutes, just not even moving.
Yeah.
Nobody moving.
You know what I've always thought?
Asinine.
What if you had an orange vest in your back of your car, and you just went out there and acted like you were doing something? You knew what you were doing.
That'd be great. You get out. It's illegal, but you could get out and just tell people, you got to move. You got to move. We've got an emergency. And then whatever your car is, you point to that car.
You get people to start turning different ways. It doesn't matter. Just get them out of the garage.
Probably frowned upon.
But, okay. Is that a crime? That you're not impersonating an officer.
You're impersonating a traffic guard. That's got to be a misdemeanor at most. I don't even think it's anything.
Why don't you try it?
Okay, well, I don't have an orange vest.
Let's go to a game together. I'll get you one.
Don't even go with the orange. Like, go, you know,
just
pink.
Whatever.
A pink vest.
Just a bright
a blue
colored
vest.
It's got to be bright.
Could be green.
The stuff I bike in, I'll wear that.
David Wright, seems like we all agree the team performed better than expected against Notre Dame. Does Sunday's performance change your projected win-loss totals for the season?
It tweaked mine a little bit. And Aslan brought it up on Wake Up War Chant. He misquoted me a little bit. I didn't say the floor is now 7 wins. I said now I think 7 is reasonably – that's a reasonable expectation. Before, I thought it was 6.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't beat Notre Dame, I think looking at the weekend as a whole, I could see them winning 7 games.
The totality of the ACC.
Yeah, without doing anything special, I think they can get to 7 wins, whereas before, I didn't know if they could.
Well, let's do this, guys.
I mean, we'll revise WSNL every week.
No.
I mean, I think NC State looks like a pretty sure win now. Not a sure win. But I think it's a win. I think it's a very winnable game. I wasn't quite
as
sure.
Say,
Louisville, I think, is a sure win.
I'm going to give you Louisville. I thought that before I saw them play.
Syracuse is a sure win.
I think they're all winnable.
UMass is a sure win. Jacksonville State's a sure win. So now you got 4 sure wins.
Oh, we did this before, though. I had all those 4 sure wins you had.
But now
before.
Miami's very winnable. NC State's very
all
winnable.
Right, look, you got to win the Wake game. It starts with that.
Right.
Wake's
Nothing
winnable.
Really changes until you beat Wake. But it's Wake. Here are your wins if you play well. Jacksonville State, Wake, Louisville, Syracuse, UMass, that's five wins. Now you have to beat a combination for 2 more wins. Right. You ready? Here's the combo. You got to beat North Carolina on the road.
Which looks winnable.
After one game.
Yeah.
They look like ass.
Yeah, okay, they did. You got to beat Clemson.
Okay, well,
that's
look.
Not gonna
that's
not going
to happen. That defense looked pretty good.
You got to beat Miami.
That's winnable.
Winnable.
By then? What are they going to be by then,
Now,
Jeff?
They may have quit. You're right. But we'll have to monitor them.
Right.
Because I'm not going to judge them for getting blown out by Alabama.
But
everybody would have gotten blown out
by. But I was suspect of them coming into the season.
All right.
And now
you just raised an eyebrow.
I feel like a little bit more.
All right. You and I may have a fundamental, like, why don't we wager on it, disagreement.
NC State?
The NC State team.
When
who
is
looks
that game?
Really, really good. That game is Saturday, November the 6th.
Oh, we can't talk about NC State right now. As Glenn,
anyway.
Can we get back to Jacksonville State like Glenn wants? I'm tired of looking ahead 2 months.
Here we go.
Glenn,
hold
I'm
on.
With you.
Hold on. So then you got to win that game, Boston College and Florida.
Yeah, man, there's a couple wins in there, I think.
So they're winnable.
There's more than a couple.
Yeah, they're winnable. I think the only one now, looking at the schedule, you're like, hey,
right.
is the one in Death Valley.
Right, whereas you thought 3 maybe before.
Yeah, sure. But because of the way Florida State played, I take that into account more than Miami getting trounced by Alabama.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Florida State, if you could put 38 on Notre Dame, when you turn it over 3 times and have 9 penalties, you could probably put 38 on most teams you play. And when you score 38, as long as you don't give teams busted wide open 60-yard touchdowns on 4th and 2, you probably should win those games.
And
that's,
I think
that's
defense.
My thought.
And I think defenses, now that they've seen Milton, are going to have a tougher time with Travis because now they have to. They can't just prepare for Jordan Travis.
Yeah, and vice versa.
CG,
right?
CG writes, just got my tickets for the Wake game.
Let's go.
Going to be in attendance for arguably Mike's biggest game as a Noel so far.
Yeah.
Coming to take the damn hill.
Let's go.
Well, did he get tickets on the hill, though? That's the question.
I got overly carried away last time we had this discussion, and somebody called me out for it. I said, burn it to the ground. I said something like that.
That seems extreme.
Set fire to the hill. Did I say set fire to the hill? I said set fire to the hill. That was probably a bit much.
No.
I don't really think we should set
it. What was the Alabama dude? Who was the Alabama guy that poisoned the trees?
Oh, that was awful, yeah. He's dead, by the way.
He died.
Thankfully.
Yeah. But let's why don't you burn like a big kind of spear into the middle of that with some gas?
You think they're going to let you do that? They're going to let you just go ahead?
They're not going to know what we're doing.
Are we
getting
there the
night
before?
We put it in a wine box so you'll fit right in with all the picnickers. And you just slowly leak it out, and then you set fire to it. And by the time they know what's happened, you're in Raleigh.
Not only are we taking the hill, we're taking their wine.
And then their wives.
Oh, man. And their women.
And then their wives.
Yeah, we're going to take your wine and your women. We're going to burn the hill to the ground?
We're going
to
take your blanket?
It's going old that, school.
That loving Mackenzie Milton story, feel-good story, is not going to be quite
Florida
so
State's
lovable.
Back. Florida State's back, baby.
The fans, emboldened by a loss against Notre Dame, have begun to lay siege to Winston-Salem.
Yes.
Here's a shot from downtown.
We don't know what's going on, Jerry.
Set fire to the hill. And there's a guy in the back on a garden goal running off with women in his arms. Just like, what has happened here? Jared writes, after seeing us play a game and look improved, would 5-7 now be considered a disaster?
I'm not a disaster, but you would definitely, it would take a little bit of the buzz off of.
Yeah.
It'd be a step back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris writes, in my opinion, up until midway through the fourth, the offense was terrible except for two huge plays, played with mistakes and stupid penalties. I was very worried about how recruits would view that game until we got going finally. First game jitters or what? Well, I thought they responded really well down 7-0, sticking with the run. They get the long play because they're still willing to run.
Right.
And then from there, let's not forget, they rallied to take a 14-7 lead. They actually come back and take the lead after looking awful for about a good quarter there. So I wouldn't say that they were terrible. They were wildly inconsistent, and that's because the quarterback was inconsistent. And also the offensive line does not do a good job in pass pro. And this is kind of the problem they're going to have. They're lacking in some areas. This is not an elite football team.
Yeah.
They're not going to walk out and be overly efficient game in and game out. They're not going to dominate too many opponents. So, you know, this is what you're going to get from this team.
But I also think it's the show of maybe the standard being raised to where, and I don't necessarily disagree with them. I thought the offense was very hiccupy and stop and starty and had some awful moments. And again, you point out, you can say, oh, just for a couple of big plays. Well, you made a couple of big plays. Mm-hmm. The offense made plays, and you had 28 on Notre Dame, where last year there were two teams that scored more than 28 against Notre Dame. They were named Alabama and Clemson. So you put up more points on them with your quarterback playing poorly than anybody else they played did. So I think the perception's changed a little bit of what about this offense can be. Last year, we were over the moon that they put up 26 on that Notre Dame team.
Well, and also that was a game where the offense fought and hung in there. And they got to go on
and I thought that was Jordan Travis's best game last year, was the Notre Dame game. And I thought he wasn't good this year and they scored more points.
If you told any FSU fan out there, anyone, that you're going to come out of that game with 400-something yards of offense and 38 points, they would have signed up right immediately.
And outrushed Notre Dame by 200 yards.
Yeah.
That's When you say it that way, though, that makes
you excited and sad at the same time. Ordinarily, you outrun somebody by 200 yards, outrush somebody, you're going to win the game.
Well, but that's where the penalties and the turnovers did.
99.9% of them.
And missed kick.
You outscored 21-0 on those turnovers.
Yeah.
There it is. Dabs writes, had a fantastic time in Tallahassee this weekend. Had to explain some things to the family, like the Yay Sausage shirt for my wife, and why I was hugging Jeff's dad at Bumpus. He's a great hugger. Look forward to a great season on Yay Sausage. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, well, he is a good hugger. There's no doubt. And a lot of people got dad's hugs this weekend. So.
We got a good picture with him, with our buddy Bobby. Outside of... I think Stephanie took it.
Yeah, Stephanie. Stephanie, I actually got a bunch of Yay Sausage shirts in my garage.
Jeff wants one.
So if you guys want
to come by.
Yeah.
So. Everybody? Anybody?
Anybody.
You
anybody.
Lock in you the garage these days?
I don't lock anything. So just come in and take what you need.
That's established.
Yeah.
Mark writes, is this 2 years in a row that Norvell started the wrong quarterback in game one? Are there issues with him evaluating quarterbacks? I don't think so, at least for this year. We've laid out the
And last year, Jordan Travis, last year. They had two quarterbacks going through camp, James Blackman and Tate Rodemaker.
Yeah.
He didn't start the wrong quarterback. He didn't have the right quarterback to start.
Yeah, Jordan Travis didn't practice at all last August. So that was you can't hold that against him. Blackman was the only real option, as Rodemaker proved against Jacksonville State 2 weeks later. Blackman was not a good option, but he was the only option he had against Georgia Tech. This one, a little different, but not much, because, again, one guy just did not
practice as much as the other guy. Yeah, that was – well, not just – and again, I know we're having to be careful, but we've now played a game. I think the cat's out of the bag. I just want to say, again, I'm not trying to –
you're not trying to blow up anybody's spot?
I'm just noting that, look, one guy missed a lot of time. Not a little, a lot, for whatever reason, okay? I mean, I know they kept dancing around it because you want the strategic advantage of making a team prepare for both. We've moved on now. Both teams have seen both guys.
Yeah, and Jacksonville State will be preparing for both.
Right, I'm just saying that in the preseason here in camp, it wasn't like, hey, one guy missed three more practices than the other. No, man, there was a lot of time missed, and that was unfortunate. But that didn't help you evaluate the position really well because you need him out there in order to do that. More questions momentarily. Hang in. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminal Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Panama Noel writes, first time question. I was in favor of going for it on 4th and 2. We had no momentum at the time. What do you think, gentlemen? Also, I'm going to enjoy a nice quick trip. Some pistols and pie is what he said. Okay.
Can you have negative momentum, by the way? He said they have no momentum. They had no momentum. So I think they had negative momentum.
Momentum was going in the wrong direction. Yes, I did. Somebody came up at the thing on Saturday at Quarter Pocket and asked about, like, hey, we hear it all the time. We don't understand. We've listened for years, but we've never understood that reference. So I explained it to him. I'm not going to do it here, guys. You have to approach me at a bar in Tallahassee, and I'll tell you whatever
Many
you need to know.
Many years ago, we probably went overboard in discussing what pistols and pie
meant.
Especially the pie portion.
These are younger days.
It's okay. Yeah.
YouTube back then. The pistols came from if we were a quarterback that threw a touchdown, this is all we would do is sling, take him out of the holster,
spin him,
and then we joked that even in the
I think we were encouraging EJ to do it.
And then saying like,
and I think at the end we wanted him to go like that.
Lick it and then put it back. And then in the press conference, anytime he was asked the question, like, what'd you see on that touchdown to Burt Reed? He's like, oh, you mean the one I did that one? Yeah. Like, he just used pistols.
That
every,
would
every
be
answer.
Great.
It'd be awesome.
If a quarterback in the NFL, especially a prolific one, like say Brady or anybody, good to see you, John. What's your question? Oh, the touchdown, Pat. Yeah, in the second quarter? Let me tell you something about that. That would be great. And he did it after every touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Or question about every touchdown
pass. So that's where that came from.
And then the pie came from my love of pie, which who doesn't love pie?
Rhubarb
pie specifically. And I told you that one of the great traditions in the Cameron household is to start Thanksgiving morning with a little bit of pie.
And I think now we move on.
Sweet honey pie.
A little bit of pie to start your day. Because that way you can
I
know,
think this is where we move on.
But the fourth down play, getting back to
question. Hold on. I was going to answer that first.
I'm glad we have the hierarchy figured out on the show.
We do.
Because I liked the question and I asked it. I skipped because I wanted to get to this question. No, this is a Twitter question.
Why not?
So you don't even get the answer.
It doesn't matter.
You don't even get the answer.
Sorry, Facebook.
First of all, Panama Noel, maybe for the wrong reasons, you're right. It was the right call. And I had no problem with it. At the time, I had no problem with it either.
Yeah.
Now, it does suck that it didn't work.
Yes.
And I would also note that I need my man to hit a wide-open tight end in a timely fashion. And this has got
me
mad.
Was that what happened? He was open early and he didn't get to him?
Yes,
okay.
And you don't need it to be a big play.
You just got to get the first down. It's the right call. He's got to hit that. He doesn't. It pissed me off. And the result is disastrous in the moment.
And then you boot him.
I did not boo. But the result is disastrous in the moment. And I get what fans see. They're like, oh, great. This game was already hanging in the balance. And now we're about to give them that field position. And this thing could turn into a blowout. Well, it didn't. But the bottom line is, you are playing clearly, and Norvell has done it since day one when he got here, and he's trying to instill in them a belief of confidence, right, that he has in them and them in themselves. He's not playing to feel good about the final score.
Yeah.
He's playing to win the damn game.
And he said it today when we talked to him today. He said he kind of went into the all explanation about analytics and whatever.
And he does. And then, I love that he's a modern coach who studies that.
100%.
He cares deeply about, and he's right mathematically.
And what's funny, because people used to kill Jimbo because he was the exact opposite.
He wouldn't go for it on 4th and 2
if
the other team's 33.
Then he lied to you about how far the distance was.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
4th and 3.
Yeah, it was 4th and 1. I'm looking at it.
But on top of that, but then that's what he came back to is, I'm going to coach to win the football game. And he said, you know, it served us well. If you look back at my time as a head coach, there have been times we've gone on to drive to score because we did
well,
that.
Well, and you always remember when it doesn't work. But here's right. the other thing that I would point to for those that would vehemently disagree. Fine. I mean, there's an argument to be made the other way. I think you're wrong, but we're not going to get into the weeds with this. At that time in the game, Florida State's offense had completely stalled on back-to-back drives.
And we're taking no time off the clock.
And no, and the defense was clearly
exhausted. The defense
exhausted,
had just given up two long touchdown drives.
Was very exhausted. And the thought was, I cannot send them back out there in this situation. So his thought was, okay, if I get it, fine, we stay on the field, we got a chance to get back in the game. If we punt, they're just going to come down the field and likely score again because they're exhausted, only it'll take more time. Yeah. And then we have even less of a chance to come down and make this thing a game late because, well, there'll be less time on the clock. So I can see it, but I know in the moment a lot of people, especially traditionalists, they see they're like, you never do that. Well, we know a lot more about the game now.
And yeah, it's 2021. Get used to it. There's going to be a lot of fourth and twos on other people's side of the fields where they go for it, and it's the right thing to do analytically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you want a modern coach who studies that
you
stuff.
You average 6 yards a play. You had to get two. It would seem crazy not to go for it in that moment when you're down 11 and you feel like that other team's about to take control of the game, which they did anyway. Didn't work out great.
The bottom line to me is whatever your philosophy is, that's your philosophy.
Stick with it.
And if are you that's hitting on 16 or are you taking it?
There you go. Exactly.
What are we doing? Yeah.
Are we doubling down or are we not doubling
down? What are we doing here? When
don't
I walk into this casino.
Don't go on feel. You're always hitting on 16
and
you're not.
Yeah, that's the way it is. We walk into this casino with a plan. Gentlemen, you ready? We dap. Let's get a drink. Come on. Here we go. Now, don't be going waffling on me over here, everybody. You take that hit for the rest of the people at the table.
The guy at the next seat's like, man, he keeps hitting on 16. Yeah, but he's committed.
He's committed. Yeah, he's not having it. He's not having it. Even though this other guy is showing you. All right, next question. Let's get. Oh, for Corey's sake, I want to get back over to Facebook.
There you go. I mean, just those people were invested longer. Ira just asked 20 minutes ago for questions.
Mike writes, given the high productivity from our transfers and ability to have relatively quickly cleaned house from late Jimbo, man, we got to figure something out with this throat.
Hey, man. The cough button would be great.
Do you need to go see a doctor?
Well,
I'm worried about you. Let's start over. Mike, given the high productivity from our transfers and ability to have relatively quickly cleaned house from late Jimbo / Willie recruits, have you changed earlier thoughts on the ability to build a team utilizing the transfer portal? No, I think you can do that. I think you'd run risks in doing that, such as a lack of a character, a bond that comes with being recruited in a class that you build together through time and all that.
Yeah, and I think there's a challenge from the standpoint of you have to do your research you have to do all your research in a quick amount of time. The recruiting process is not a year like it is for high school players. It's maybe a week, it may be 2 days that you have to make a decision. And then on top of that, if a kid comes in and he doesn't have the culture, if he's doesn't have the work ethic, all the things you want, you only have a short amount of time to get him assimilated. He's only got that 1 year. Yeah. Whereas if a kid comes in as a freshman, you know, maybe he's not like Buster Davis. I always think back to Buster. And Buster Davis actually tweeted a video when Coach Bowden tied.
Speaking up in Atlanta.
But he talked about that story. At some point, I'd like to get him on the record about his freshman year because he was one of the top players in the country. Yeah, I mean, he quit. He just left.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in camp for 4 or 5 days and then came back. And the story he was telling was Coach Bowden said, look, man, I believe in you. And that's kind of what got through to him is, hey, man, I believe in you, and I'm not going to let you quit kind of thing. But you don't have that window of time to work a guy in when you bring him as a transfer. But, yeah, that's going to be more and more the case because – especially now because the one-time transfer rule is great where you can go somewhere and play right away, but it's a one-time transfer rule.
Mm-hmm.
So once a kid transfers, they can't just transfer somewhere else and play right away. They're going to have to sit out. So there's a little bit more stability once you bring a guy in.
Yeah, I you want to build, just like in the NFL, free agency's nice. You can go get a key free agent and, you know, put him in a position of need, but you want to build through the draft. Most teams, if you look at the successful ones, most of them build through the draft. Now, again, if you're able to get a top-tier quarterback in free agency like the Bucs did with Tom Brady, maybe a wise move in that situation. But on the whole, if you look at what the Bucs have done in the draft the last 5 years, most of that electrifying defense is through the draft. Most, not all, but most. All right, let's go back to this here really quickly. I think this is an interesting question, and I may be more bullish than some. Kevin writes, the defense did look much better. However, we once again allowed a pedestrian quarterback to look all world. Is that due to and you're right about pedestrian, Kevin. Is that due to a total...
As pedestrian as they come.
Yes. Is that due to a total sellout to stop the run, or is our secondary once again going to be a liability? I just feel like the secondary didn't play as bad as the numbers looked. No. I'm telling you, they were in position. Akeem Dent should have had the interception. Travis Jay is in position on a play that a guy just takes the ball away from him. I think they're better. I really do.
100%. I mean, I didn't walk out. I get it. The yards look bad. But no, and it wasn't because of a philosophical thing. I thought the defense overall was prepared. They had a good game plan. And for the most part, executed well, certainly in the run defense, but just got beat on some passes.
And 100 of those yards were on a busted fourth down play to the tight end and a 55-yard screen pass on a ridiculous blitz. I mean, that's 100 yards.
Yeah, now that call, I'm going to agree with people, was not a good call.
And he even admitted, we talked to Adam Fuller today after practice, and he admitted that it was not a good call.
Can I say this, too, and I want to do this, guys are probably tired of me bringing this up, but Adam Fuller, whatever happens, happens. We'll see what happens and judge him throughout the course of the season.
Likeable dude.
Oh,
he's a really likeable guy. Go watch that video.
For a lot of reasons, and one of them is that he is willing to own up to any of that stuff. Now, listen, if you are constantly owning up to huge mistakes, that's not going to be ideal.
Honey, yes, I did sleep with her.
But I'm not trying to deny it, but I'm telling
you, that
was for dinner.
I lost the dog, and I'm sorry. I can't keep apologizing for losing our dog.
I did lose the dog. I did sleep with her. Is there anything else?
Yeah.
What else is...
I'm not great. I'm not great sometimes.
Nathaniel writes, boy, it's amazing how much impact a disruptive defensive line can have, eh? That said, I even thought the linebacker play, aside from the blown coverage on the first touchdown, was also improved behind that defensive line, albeit with still limited talent. Yes, that's correct. It's better, but not good. They triggered faster, mostly took correct gaps, and were active across the field. Would you guys agree after rewatching the game? Yeah, they're just like they've got to raise the floor through recruiting. They got to get better players at that position. My concern, while
they were in better position,
sure,
at least
I agree
they
with
were
that.
In, they were in the right position most of the time.
My concern is they're not recruiting well at that position right now. You look everywhere else, you feel really good about the yeses. You feel really good about how they're attacking positions of weakness with numbers. So I'm looking at you, Chris Marv. I'm going to need you to get in on some linebackers.
I mean, it's been what are we doing here at Florida State with linebackers, man? Like, it ain't like Chris Marv's predecessor was knocking it out of the park either.
No. We've had some issues for some time.
Or his predecessor.
Who was Marv's predecessor?
Woody.
Woody.
Oh, that's right. And then before him was Bill Miller.
Oh,
yeah,
Jesus.
I was thinking of Bill Miller. I forgot about the Raymond Woody gap.
Bill Miller era.
I mean, how does that – like, when does Alabama just stop recruiting any position? And Florida State was...
Well, they're operating at peak efficiency, and we're not.
But when you think about Florida State in 14 and 15, like, you would have thought they could have just named the five-star linebackers they wanted to go after, and it did not happen.
A lot of bad evaluations.
Yes. Yeah. And it's,
so that's
here we are now 7 years later, and you're like, man, this just isn't... Like we said, and I thought DeLoach was good. I thought he was a good player in that game. Not great, but good. The other guys, I know you got a high bar. I mean,
It's Florida State linebacker. Yeah,
and Mickey Andrews said he looked like Derrick Brooks, and
Andrews. He's putting words.
Two Derrick Brooks.
Two Derrick Brooks. Yeah. But
Marvin Jones is my favorite player of all time. I have a standard.
Well,
for
I
linebacker.
Mean, look, DeLoach is a. I've said before he's a modern days. He's Marvin 2.0.
Yeah, he gets a little bigger. Right?
But you look at that depth chart, and the Cortez Andrews kid, who's a walk on, is playing in that game. The Green McKnight kid has been brought down. Yeah. You look at that depth chart, and you're like, what's happened? This doesn't make sense for a place like Florida State. To have this dearth of
bodies and
talent.
Well, they have a bunch of the kids that were signed under Raymond Woody in that time and are not available. Emmett Rice should be there.
Well, and Emmett Rice would help, but he's also a sixth-year senior, so you know what I mean? He maybe really shouldn't be there if all things considered.
He would help, though.
Oh, absolutely.
We got to go to break, but I do want to say that, again, I'm not going to be a broken record this year and talk about this position because the ceiling is pretty low for this group. They're not an elite group of linebackers. And so... I don't want week in and week out to dog them. We just know what they are.
Just play hard.
Hopefully they'll play better, but they were in better positions. You got to get some kids in here that can play. Now, there's the transfer portal for you.
Right. We'll
find you a badass linebacker that can come in here and start right away. Lord knows there's spots for them. We've got plenty of places.
Spots of plenty.
Yeah. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Matt writes, does it feel like the first time since famous Jameis torched Pittsburgh that FSU is getting some good publicity again? Oh, I think so. I read nationally any number of analysts.
Well,
that
Travis
really,
Rudolph eating lunch with that kid.
That was the, you know, in that window of time.
It was a nice window.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think nationally you saw a lot of people noting, rightfully so, that Florida State is a vastly improved team. And that happened for almost every national
Well, and you also had the Bowden thing and the McKenzie thing. Like, people are now actively going to
and
root the, for for Florida State.
And Dylan Gibbons and the Timothy Donovan.
And Dylan Gibbons, yeah. Yeah, man, yeah.
It was a Disney movie that night.
Yeah, the whole weekend.
Trip writes, howdy, gentlemen. How does the almost choke at Doak Part 2 change your season win total? We went over this. Sorry, Trip. Linebackers filled and set the edges. The OL paved the way for 264 yards rushing. These were all question marks that threatened this team's ceiling, but they were answered against a solid opponent. Curious to hear your thoughts.
Hey, the run game is a big deal, man. Like, and you touched on earlier, the Sean Gone backfield, Corey,
yeah,
which I'm starting to come around.
Taking off. No, we're that's going to take off,
no,
man.
It's not. You're going to change it tonight.
They run block. That offensive line cannot pass block very well right now,
no,
but they can run block, and they've got some good schemes, and he's a good play caller. Mike Norvell's a good play caller, man, or Dillingham, whoever's calling plays. They do a nice job with it, and I think that running game is going to be the identity, whoever's a quarterback.
Mike, this is interesting from you, but we'll do our best, and we have some recommendations. He says, I'm coming to my first game in Tallahassee, I presume this weekend. What are some must-try restaurants, and what time is Sod? Yeah, so it is this Saturday. What time is Sod Talk this Saturday?
Obviously, Horizons.
Yeah, well, we'll say Horizons. Yeah, Corner
and
Pocket,
if you need
Horizons,
orthodontist, you know where to go, ride or die.
Yeah.
Ride or die with Heather Birch.
If your kid's braces have any problems, get over to Birch Orthodontics.
So I'm going to give them a bunch of them. Horizons Bar and Grill, Gordo's, Bumpa's, Corner Pocket. Lots of places for you to try out all around, okay?
Yeah.
Now, that said, I don't know why you circled this game, my brother. Maybe it was just that there'd be fewer people, easier ticket to get.
I got one guy sent me a message the other day that he was hoping to come down for the Notre Dame game, couldn't get tickets. Jacksonville State's going to be a little bit more affordable if you're coming down from Georgia.
A lot of
maybe a little more
across
more room space to spread out and space out.
So I think some people, if you're not coming for the, if you're just coming for the experience, you haven't been to a lot of Florida State games, this is a good game for that.
Yeah. Okay. And then Sod Talk. Anybody got a handle on
when
that's taking
like
place?
It's 2 hours before the game.
I don't know that they do that right now, though.
They did it.
They did it this time.
Pretty
you
sure.
can all, even if you're not there, though, you can press that little button that they have at the cemetery now, and it'll give you the history of the cemetery. So
and
that's
Mike,
cool
the good news is you'll likely be able to get in and out of your parking spot in a reasonable amount of time. There's even a chance that when you go to get a beer, let's say at concessions, you can do so in under 45 minutes.
Just quit. The staff won't just quit.
Unreal.
Concessions were a
what
problem.
Is going
one of the concessions. Stands
they
apparently
just decide, they quit.
They just quit in the middle.
My beloved dad went to get me and the boys some water, came back an hour and 20 minutes later, said it was the most ridiculous thing he'd ever seen. One line was going smoothly, shut it down. Had to go to the other one. Then some guy's trying to order 15 beers, getting in an argument with the lady. Well, there's 105 people. It was insane. Florida State.
Some game issues.
We got to buck up here.
It's time.
What is going on? Anyhow, so hopefully things will be better for you there. Marlon writes, hello, gents. I'm going to put my Aslan hat on because these kids played their ass off, and I felt Coach Norvell and this coaching staff let them down.
Ooh.
O-line,
that is an Aslan hat.
O-line can't snap, can't stop jumping off sides. And how do you lose that tight end on that fourth down play? The positive is that maybe this helps the recruiting class. Love the show. No, listen, you're talking about a center that can't snap or struggled to snap in this.
Yeah, it wasn't like Atkins told him, hey, man, when you're trying to snap the ball, like a two-hopper is what what McKenzie really needs.
Yeah, just make sure it's uncatchable, whatever you do.
What is interesting to me, and I'm not, you know, just defending them blindly, but it is interesting the people who will blame the coaching for a couple of decisions here or there,
and
but not recognize where this program was 1 year ago and where it is today. Or where it was 2 years ago and where it is today. Yeah. So they get some credit for some of that as well.
Yeah, I think they are well coached, frankly. Yeah. I don't think it's I don't think you can argue it.
I mean, there's some people decisions that people didn't like, whatever, that's fine.
Also,
but overall, it's a completely different.
It's a fool's game to second-guess play calling. I learned it years and years ago. If a play works, you're a genius. If it doesn't, you're an idiot. That's the general perception of fans.
Third and 18, you don't need to blitz. You don't need to bring six. I'm always going to. I'm going to ride
saying,
with that.
I'm saying, if you're in the stands,
sure.
The guy that questions every play call,
yes.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Can we stop doing that?
You don't
that?
Need that. Why are you running on third and six?
It's really close to being the guy that yells, "Call the touchdown play."
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we just not do that? That's really annoying, and that's something I had forgotten about, guys.
Well, look, man, they're still out there. They're still out there. But overall, great. I thought it was a great performance, guys. I'm not going to let a couple play. You shouldn't let a couple play calls. Because, yeah, as Jeff has pointed out, Notre Dame has clearly got a better roster.
They do.
A much better roster. And it came down to two kicks. Like, so you can say the coaching staff let them down. I would say the previous two coaching staffs let some of those kids down. And
the
this
one
coaching
at the end of his successful regime let him down.
Is kind of trying to build them back up and got them into a place where they were in overtime against the top 10 team.
All right, here we go. With all the positive reaction from recruits after the game, what are the chances the 22 class ends up being the class that turns it all around? Multiple 5-stars and high 4-stars are committed. That's from Kevin.
Could be.
I think so. I think it's that was of vital importance the other night.
Yeah.
Not only an incredible atmosphere that they got to witness and feel and be a part of, but also the team played quite well, and we're in there till the very end. You send a top 10 team to overtime.
Like, I think I said it. Did I say it on this show about you don't have to point to 2014 to say that's what dope
looks
like? We do so many shows now.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember when I say what. But, yeah, you get those guys, those kids experienced what Doak can be like. They didn't have to go watch a VHS tape or a YouTube clip. They got to feel it. That's of utter importance.
Now, one note real quick to the other part of that. You did note, Marlon, and I appreciate the question, that you know they blew the assignment on the tight end on the fourth down play. They got the call in late. I don't know who was responsible for that, but they were out of sorts early there. There's no doubt they were, and they got the call in late. But you really didn't see much of that the rest of the game.
I was kind of thinking maybe a defensive timeout might have been, which nobody ever wants to call a defensive timeout, but that I was thinking that might have
that might have helped
because they were confused.
Yeah, they were definitely confused, and you know that's not a good excuse, but I don't think a guy just blew the assignment. The call came in late, and next thing. And by the way, again, that tight end is going to do that to a lot of people. He's really freaking good.
Well, we would have scored on that one.
I'm not talking about the effort. I'm saying that guy's game, nine catches, 100-whatever yards.
For real,
do you think
if I catch the pass where he caught it?
No, you get caught.
Where, at the 3?
About the 10.
I mean, come on.
I'm not giving you that much credit.
Come on. Would you have scored?
Oh, easily.
If I get to the 10, where does Ira get? The 26?
Ira's kind of sneaky quick.
Oh, is he get in the end zone?
No, he gets caught.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like
I would drop kick somebody on my way.
Yeah, I feel like all three of us score on that one. That's how open he was.
He'd go down swinging, drop kicking people. Ira, you'd be my favorite player.
Anybody gets stiff arm. Kick somebody in the chest.
Give him a stiff leg.
Connor,
what are they going to do? Is there a rule against it?
No.
You can't kick somebody in the chest?
There's no rule I've ever seen.
Connor writes, and he gave us a tip in doing so. Appreciate
that, Connor.
Has the Damori Tate ship sailed?
AOL. I wouldn't say
early,
that.
Buddy, it's early.
It's too early, but he is. He doesn't seem to be in their immediate plans for playing time.
I mean, he sat out all last year, and then he was hurt in the spring. So we're going to give him a mulligan on
he's
a little bit.
He's been out there practice lately, you know, he's been practicing. They'll get some guys back. I mean, when you have an injury, I don't know. I'm not so fast to write guys off. Let's get another. Let's take a break. Come back, wrap it up with another question in a moment. Some of the headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
You'll both like this one. Eric asks or notices. I notice every time Corey does a video outside of Doak, he's constantly looking around over his shoulder, etc.
See?
Kind of shifty-like. Does he owe a loan shark money? Is he worried about some shady character coming to collect? I'm worried about you, brother.
I get that. What's happening is there are these odd noises of people walking down the sidewalk that I'm like, okay, are they about to walk in the middle of our shot? Like, they seem so oblivious because it is 2 in the morning after a big game. That's what I'm looking at. I know it looks like I'm looking over my shoulder for the man to come. But yes, that's usually what it is. It's a weird noise. It's a just it's a lot of weird stuff.
You're a little jumpy, buddy. You're a little jumpy.
I'm definitely a little jumpy, but I'm also worried that, you know, I don't want to be out there another 45 minutes higher.
I think Aslan's got our back, though. He's behind the camera. He's got the he can see everything.
Yeah, he's got his head on a swivel.
He'll let us know.
And get down!
I'm not
great.
Get
down!
Like, I'm worried about you. Like, if you were in the indoor practice facility and you got TJ up there playing Iron Maiden, I don't know that you could run the offense.
No, and I was going to say, I would be the quarterback that looks at the rush. I'm not keeping my eyes downfield. I'm not, and you should hear some. You should go back and like. There's definitely one instance in that post game wrap up where I'm just saying words. There's none of them make sense.
No, I could.
They
tell.
Don't go together.
That's when I turned it off.
They don't. It's just like a noun with no, none of it made sense.
You were
it's
rattled.
Just
you were
straight
rattled.
Up word salad, you're, and then I got my mind right.
You were Jordan Travis the first couple.
Yeah,
of
it was. It was ugly.
It's odd that you bring up Iron Maiden. Shockingly, they released a new record recently, nice. And it's good.
Really,
I was stunned.
So Run to the Hills Part 2?
No, but it's really good. You'd be surprised. You turn it on, you're like, this is good.
All right.
I never
hey,
thought
fun.
This would happen.
That's crazy here we go. You listen to Iron Maiden.
Oh, I found out that the album was released just because I was reading another article, and I went, Maiden released a new album? Let's hear it. And then I'm like six songs in, so I'm like,
okay.
This bitch is good.
Were you a t-shirt guy back in the day, concert t-shirt guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had them from every show I went to. It didn't matter the genre either. I had a shirt for
like everybody. They cost like $20 back then, and it felt like a lot of money. They're like $80.
Oh, they just binge over at these shows. It's unbelievable. All right, here we go. Ryan writes, fellas, seeing the impact Johnson and Thomas made and our lack of defensive line depth, does Norvell go to the transfer portal again until we can get guys like Kelly and Jones Jr. on the roster?
That's always a part of that's college football now anyway, but it's especially a part when you're still building a program. You got those guys as one-year rentals. You're going to need a couple other one-year rentals next year, hopefully of that same caliber. That might be tough to do, but hopefully of that same caliber.
But it was nice to
see. As the other guys grow up.
And it was nice to see, like, Quayshon Fuller. I mean, that looked
yeah,
like
man,
that,
what was that about? Yeah. That Quayshon Fuller, like, two-snap stretch was...
Well, he was going against the backup tackle.
But, I mean,
but he
it,
did
hasn't
what he was
mattered.
Supposed to do.
It looked like Renard Wilson.
Justin writes, Dennis Briggs was curiously absent from the stat sheet Sunday night. Curse of the hammer for that ass?
Yeah, he didn't put up a great game statistically.
Curse of the hammer.
But I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be okay. I think he might have played well doing his job.
I love our listeners. any chance the backup 4- and 5-star players at UGA want to continue to transfer to Florida
man.
State? That's from Brett.
Yeah, I tweeted that. Of course, some people don't get sarcasm, but I tweeted that. Like, imagine
you cannot
what,
fret
imagine what Georgia's
people.
Defense would have done to Clemson if they still had Jermaine Johnson. And then, of course, somebody tweets at me, they already held him to 3 points. I'm like, I know, man. It was a joke. Like, Clemson couldn't do anything against a Jermaine Johnson-less defense.
But good for him, man. That kid bet on himself.
Yeah, man.
And, I mean, he, by all accounts, great teammate. You loved him when you got to spend time with him in the spring.
Yeah, I did love him, and I still love him, and I love him even more after Sunday night. Yeah. That kid right there is productive. He leads. He's intense. He'll hit your ass. He'll tell you about it. He's nasty. I love him.
Yeah. And the other number 11 on offense might have a little something to him, too.
He's going
to
be a big time.
Yeah,
he's, Malik McClain's
had some great
deal.
Blocks. And that one, I know it was only one catch, and it was a little
you can
drag route, but you saw a little juice in there when he was doing that.
I also want to, really quickly, before I forget to do it, before the end of the show, and we've still got a few minutes left to answer some more questions, but I want to thank Eric and Connor. They tipped us on the show.
Nice.
Today.
Thanks,
can't get to everybody, but we
E-dog
really
C-money.
Appreciate that.
Hey, Quayshon could join the Sean Gong gang.
No, man, it's just for running backs, Ira. You
but,
can't just start throwing
off the line.
Random Sean's in there. It's two. It's only two.
Guys, we've got to stop this. You're not keeping that one. We're going to move on from that one. I want you to get it together and do a better one. You're better than this. I don't know. Guys, I think we're getting a lot of repeats here.
Go back to Twitter.
It's too late in the game, Ira. Just stick with Facebook.
Rob is correctly pointing out that the quarterback for Notre Dame did not look just like a game manager on Sunday night.
No.
But his QB play, how our secondary gave up so many yards, or that despite the he's a real passer now hype, Travis didn't look like he made the leap as reported. No, he didn't. He didn't. No, it's a fair observation if you're a fan and you've listened to the camp reports, and I assure you he played very well in camp. He didn't look like that guy. I think my biggest disappointment on the night, besides the missed kick at the end, which is unfortunate, is that I went into this game hoping that we would see a big step forward for Jordan Travis. He may still do it. I'm not giving up on him. But he did look an awful lot like last year's Jordan Travis.
I want to see
that's disappointing.
I want to see what he looks like this week and next week, and then we'll have a better idea of what he
is. I think you could – I mean, I know it would still only be 8 games at that point, but if he looks – what he looked like, if he looks against Wake Forest, assuming he's playing some in that game, like he did the first, well, a lot of that Notre Dame game, you might just say, okay, this isn't going to be part of his game. He is not going to be a guy that sees it quickly, gets it out of his hands quickly. That's not what he does.
Yeah.
And but judging it just from the season opener against that defense in that setting, to me seems a little early, a little too early to judge.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give him these next two games, and then I think it's fair after that. I don't think you'd be like, it's only a sophomore. He's only eight games. I mean, at some point, you are what you are, and I think we'll have a much better grasp of who he is for sure. And you can win with him even if he can't do all that stuff. He's shown he can put up points either, even if he isn't a traditional drop back and throw quarterback.
Got to give Phillip credit. He writes, shout out from Japan. I've been listening since 2 a.m.
Let's go, Phillip.
Oh, nice. Wow. It's on the feed right here. He's
2 a.m.
Go to bed, Phillip. Go to bed, Phillip.
My man.
Get some rest.
Lucky for you, the show's over in about a minute or two.
It's time to go to bed. Catch some Z's.
Get some Z's. Yeah, I've always wanted to go to Japan.
Well,
kind of jealous, Phillip. Phillip, will you house me if I ride into
Have you been to Asia at all?
No.
What about your friends in the Peace Corps? You never gone to visit them?
It was pricey. It was pricey. I got asked to speak in Tajikistan by them.
Well,
yeah, I did.
Right, that makes sense.
You've been invited to
Well, everybody. We've all been invited to speak in Tajikistan.
Tajikistan.
That's what I said.
And I got offered to go when
What were you going
to
speak about?
When they were there. Well, it was actually they're doing a thing on communication, all this other stuff. But it would have been fun to go, and I had planned on going, but then some things happened. And frankly, it was like $5,000. So we were like, eh.
You can't go to Tajikistan. Is it Tajikistan?
Tajikistan, yeah.
I could see you going the Brockmire route.
They've also been
like just falling off the face of the planet.
Oh,
yeah, you could end up.
Whatever happened? You Jeff went to Tajikistan.
He's broadcasting cricket in Tajikistan.
I did explore an option of doing an American football show in Ireland. And this was like 8 years ago, and I would have taken that job. I would have taken that job. There was a ad for in the trades, if you will, mm-hmm. Ira. They wanted somebody who housed a talk show about American football, and I would have been in Shannon, Ireland. Fine, I've been to Shannon. I'd rather be in Dublin, but either way, and I would have taken that job for the right money.
But you would have lost out on this.
Yeah, you can't do some of the headlines
from
Ireland.
The choices we make, it turns out to be all right.
You don't. No Sean Gons in soccer.
No, yeah, you ain't going to have
true.
That.
That's true.
You ain't going to have that.
Good job, Matthew. Good job, Tom. For Corey, for Ira, I'm Jeff. Thanks to all of you for listening and watching and commenting and asking questions.
Stop hitting
Stop
the mic.
Stop beating on the damn mic.
Sorry, I forget people can hear that.
Well, how could you forget that?
Hey,
it's a mic.
I'm an amateur.
Oh, good God. There you go. Do that. All right, be good, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. And, yeah, go Noles.